Turn to John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 as they come up on the overhead there. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And in the NIV it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for your presence here this morning, Lord. How great is our God. Father, I thank you for softening hearts for this word, and I pray that it speaks to me as much as everyone else. In Jesus' name, amen. The NIV uses a lot of the word remain in this passage of Scripture, but I didn't want to put the remaining life as the title because I'm afraid that might scare people. So I called it the abiding life, which was the old King James Version. I started thinking about the past couple weeks. I've been reflecting on how we measure our Christian walk, how we measure our own progress in the faith. And I realized that some people might do that chronologically, you know, this period of time, and then something happens, there's a new season, and then there's this period of time. And other people might measure their Christian walk by different spiritual events that take place, you know, kind of from blessing to blessing, things like that. And there might still be others. Certainly for me, there's two. And there was my LTPS syndrome, my long-term prodigal son syndrome. So there was me growing up in the church, and I walked away for quite a while and then came back, and here I am. As important as that is, I realize that what we do mostly in the Church of Christ in America is we look at three specific things for a believer. And if you want to bring up that next slide. And this is kind of how we gauge growth, I think, in the Church of Christ today. We look at salvation, and then discipleship, which I'm going to call sanctification, and then service or works. And this is really a message for me. I've been thinking about this the past few weeks, and these three specific things are what I'm going to call revelations to my spirit man. And some of them are revelations, and some I'm working on. I'm not there yet. So as much as I'm preaching to you today, I'm also preaching to me, just so you know that. I think the common notion in our church is, you know, we save people, we bring them into church, we disciple them, and then we get them out of the pews and into work. That makes sense in our culture. We have a very strong work ethic. We're red-blooded Americans. We like to get out and work, right? Especially in an agricultural society. You might be a farmer, your father was a farmer, your grandfather. You saw them get up early in the morning, 3:30, go to work, come back late at night, and do the same thing day after day. We even tied that into our religion, right? You've heard of the Protestant work ethic, right? It's something that's very popular in our culture, this idea of working. And I think we have a lot of Christian work in our country, but we don't have a lot of Christian fruit in our country. Verse 5 said, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, not he will do much work. So I want to bring out that difference today. Now, I know Pastor Ray has done an excellent job this past year preaching on those first two points, salvation and sanctification. We did that quite a bit, and so I'm not going to reiterate that a lot, but I just want to kind of use it as a starting point and then focus mostly on point number 3. If you could hit the next slide for me, please. Salvation. We know that salvation is by faith, by grace through faith, right? We could read these certain passages of Scripture that we're all familiar with, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, not yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. When I was a prodigal and I walked away, and by God's grace I came back, as a gift, God gave me a very overwhelming sense of his grace. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt at that time that I was saved by grace and by grace alone. And I think a lot of us know that. However, I know that there are people who struggle with that for whatever reason in their past, growing up, in their childhood, guilt that they've experienced, situations that they've experienced, and they don't understand the grace of God. They don't understand that everything about this Christian life is a free gift of God. And I pray that that information becomes revelation and it turns into transformation in your life. So I want to stop right now and just very briefly pray for those that may be struggling with this. Father, we know that your salvation is by grace and grace alone. But there may be someone who is struggling with that concept. And Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would sink that concept deep into their heart. That it would be sealed this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So the next point is discipleship. Sanctification. Next one, please. This one took a while for me. I struggled with this idea for 6, 7, 8 years. I don't know. It's really only been in about the last year or so that I really understand that sanctification is also by grace through faith. It's nothing that we can do to be sanctified. And let me explain that. When we're newborn infant believers, you know, if a person gets saved, they go through what I like to call a honeymoon period. For about 6 months, a year, whatever, there's this joy unspeakable and full of glory, right? You know, every day is hallelujah. They're evangelizing people to death with their Bibles and so on. The music that you heard when you got saved, it's the only music that's allowed to be played in the church. No other music can be played in the church. Think about the new babies. What do you do with those new babies for the first year? You care for them. You love them. You feed them. You sing to them. You hold them. There's no discipline in that time, in that first year. It's you. It's mama and baby time, and that's it. Until they turn two. So one day, you know, you're living your Christian life, and God says, come on, son. Come on, daughter. We're going to go someplace. Oh, where are we going, God? To the desert. Oh, the desert. That sounds like fun. Let's go. And that's when God begins to withdraw, right? Or at least we feel that God withdraws his hand from us. And then we realize that, yes, I'm saved by grace through faith, but I still have baggage, right? I have these footholds, these strongholds. I have these entrenched patterns of thought, behavior, and action, habits, whatever you want to call them, that are creeping up that I can't do anything about. And the harder we try to do something about them, the harder we fail, right? But we're good old red-blooded Americans, so what do? We try harder, and we fail harder. And that's when we realize and we cry out like David cried out, I'm conceived in sin. Every aspect, every being in my fiber has this propensity, this bent towards sin. It's not about wrongdoing. It's about wrong being. And it takes a while for us to figure that out. Like the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, the good that I want to do, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, I find that right there next to me. Martin Luther, even, the father of our Protestant Reformation, he struggled with this, what I call the shampoo process, wash, rinse, repeat. But in his case, it was sin, cleanse, repeat. And Luther struggled with that until he got a hold of Romans, and that sank in. And we remember his most famous song, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. He wrote that out of his experience in Romans 7 and 8. And he cried out, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, I know Pastor Ray preached this message back when we were in Romans, and I really appreciated that message because it really sunk into my heart what needs to be done. Instead of trying harder, we need to pray harder. We need to trust by faith and say, Holy Spirit, apply the work of the cross in my life by faith. Reckon the old man dead. Produce righteous DNA. The harder we try, the harder we fail. The more we surrender and submit, that's when God begins to work sanctification into us by his Holy Spirit. So like I said, it's been about a year or so, and that's finally sunk in. I don't know where you are with that, but I want to stop and pray again. Father, I pray for those who have those striving feelings of guilt that I can never do this Christian walk. Lord, I pray right now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would sink this concept. You would change information to revelation in their hearts, Lord. That every day we would cry out, Holy Spirit, apply the work of the cross in my life and change my heart by faith, in Jesus' name, amen. So then we are saved by faith. We are sanctified by faith. And then we need to go out and work. That doesn't make much sense, does it? So hit the third slide for me, please. Why would it be any different then that our service or Christian work is not through faith? Why would that be different? We're saved by faith. We're sanctified by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why would we need to get up and do works on our own? Right? So I submit to you today that even this part of our Christian life is by grace, through faith, through the Holy Spirit. And for me, I'm sort of preaching this part of the message to myself because I'm not there yet. If some of you are, that's outstanding, but I'm not here yet. Jesus said, remain in me. Remain vitally connected to the source, and you will bear much fruit. If you could look at John 6 momentarily, turn to John 6 as Sheila brings that up. Thank you. John 6, verses 27 through 29. I hope my gum chewing doesn't bother you. Over the past couple of months leading worship, I find my voice getting drier and drier. And we're not supposed to have water in this sanctuary, so I've really been struggling with a solution. And then one day I just figured, well, I'm just going to chew gum while I'm singing. And I've been doing that for the past few times leading worship, and it's really helped. I thank God that I haven't inhaled it yet. So if I ever just drop, it's because I inhaled my gum. So John 6. In this chapter, Jesus has just fed the 5,000. And the apostles and Jesus are getting out of there. They're going across the lake. Jesus walks on the water to meet the disciples, and the crowds are following him. Now, they're not following him because of the miraculous signs he performed. They're following him for free lunch. And that's what Jesus says starting in chapter 26. I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then the people keying in on that word work, they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And if you look at the original language and maybe even in the Amplified version, that word believe is really not just believe, it's adhere, cling to, trust in, be vitally connected to. So let me reread that. The work of God is this, being vitally connected to Jesus. That's the work of God. So I keyed in on this this grapevine analogy. If you go to the next slide, please. If we look at John chapter 15, he paints a picture of a grapevine and a garden. And there's all kinds of stuff going on in this analogy. We see Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the true vine. out of that vine grow branches. Now, the believer, Jesus says, you are the branches. So the believers are branches. Jesus also says that God is the gardener. He's the one that's keeping that entire relationship intact. And what's not evident or obvious, but we can imply, is that the nourishment that flows through the vine is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit flows through that vine and to the believers. So we have this really cool picture there. And the reason this resonates with me is because I have three grapevines at home that I planted about 15 years ago. And I know what this is all about. I have to prune them. I have to take care of them. I have to weed them, set them up on a trellis. And I remember once, this is a funny story that I have approval from my wife to tell. The first spring that we were married, I went out. I usually prune my grapes around this time, end of February, beginning of March, as they're still dormant. And I went out there, and when I prune my grapes, I prune my grapes. I cut them back all the way, and Kimberly walked out there like this. They're dead. What'd you do? And no, they're not. You have to prune them all the way back. And that summer, we had big clusters of grapes. So there's even a pruning lesson in there, right? What is God trying to do in your life when you're going through that pruning phase? He's cutting out things in your life that are not bearing fruit for eternity. And that might be a ministry. You see a ministry shrivel up and die away. You know, things in your life disappearing. You're saying, God, what's going on? He's saying, son, daughter, this is not bearing fruit for you. I don't want you to do this. And he cuts that back, the branch, way back so that those buds can bear big clusters of fruit. I have to say that if you go to the next slide, I borrowed a lot of the remaining part of this from one of my favorite books, Andrew Murray, Absolute Surrender. And I would recommend, if you've never read that book, you should read that book. I read it about once a year, and it's been such a blessing to me. Okay, let's go back to that analogy. Next slide, thank you. Oftentimes there's too much branch in our branch. There's too much of ourselves in ourselves, and that's the reason that God needs to prune. But I want to look, aside from the pruning aspect, I want to look a little bit deeper into this analogy that Jesus uses in John 15 and look at some specific things, aspects of the relationship between the vine and the branches. If you look back real quick at the very last verse in chapter 14, this was at the end of the Passover meal. And in the very last verse, Jesus says, come now, let us leave. And he and the disciples are on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm speculating, but I think as he's leaving and walking toward the garden, he sees grapevines as they're walking, you know, toward the garden. The Israelites, they had a lot of grapevines. That was big back then. And he says, aha, see guys, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. And they say, you know, as the disciples have always said, we have no idea what you're talking about. So, and he begins this analogy. So let's look at a couple things, some aspects of this relationship between vine and branches. Number one, next slide, please. There you go. The relationship between the vine and the branches is one of absolute dependence. Verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. I really appreciated Al's message 2 weeks ago when he talked about how the entire universe, every one of us, is kept because Jesus is looking at us. And if Jesus would take his eyes off of us for one instant, our molecules would disappear into nothing, nothingness. The branch receives nourishment from the vine. The branch, we receive the Holy Spirit. And we need to stay absolutely dependent upon that vine, absolutely dependent on Jesus for that. Think about a branch that's cut off from the vine. If I were to take my pruning shears and cut a branch and then stick it in the ground and put some dirt over it and water it, what would happen? Nothing. It would die. If I were to take my branch and cut it and drill a hole in a maple tree and stick the branch in the maple tree and, you know, put some wood putty in there or whatever, what would happen? It would die. It would die. The branch that's cut off from the vine produces nothing. It's spiritually dead, just like the branch of the actual grapevine. The second thing, relationship between the vine and the branches, is one of close communion. Verse 7, if you remain in me, it will be given to you. The branch simply receives the Holy Spirit from the vine, the nourishment, the sap. I'm using the Holy Spirit as that analogy for the nourishment and the sap. And that reception is continuous. A grapevine doesn't send the sap for 5 minutes and then not send it for 5 minutes. And then the next 5 minutes it sends it and then it stops. It sends the nourishment continuously to the branches, continuously. Our link to Jesus through the Holy Spirit should be continuous. And in fact, it is on his part. It is continuous on his part. It's just like you can't be alive and then dead for a few minutes and then alive again and dead for a few minutes. It doesn't work that way. So the Holy Spirit is ever present in our lives, although we may not realize it. That connection is always there. And we say, well, you know, I have to work 8-10 hours a day. Yeah, of course, we all do. That's how God ordained it. God ordained it that we go to work and earn an income. And so on a conscious level, we may not realize that that connection is there. When I'm at work, you know, I'm dealing with all these math equations and students and meetings and everything. My conscious mind is focusing on what I'm doing. But I think that there's a level of abiding, of connection, that's even lower than the conscious mind. Something that's unconscious, and we can ask God to keep us in that close communion, in that relationship, even when our mind is not focusing directly on him. 1 Peter 1:5 says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That's not sort of a vague keeping. That's a very specific keeping. God says he's keeping us. He's keeping our health. He's keeping our spirit. He's keeping our salvation. So even though we may not be able to focus on God for that 8 hours a day because we're working, we can certainly pray in the morning, Lord, keep this relationship for me. Keep my heart today. Keep my soul today. Keep my thoughts today. A third thing that I see from this relationship between the branch and the vine, it's one of deep restfulness. Verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. The branch never worries about the fruit production. It's not the branch's responsibility. It's the vine's responsibility. The branch never gets worked up and says, well, last year I produced 5 bunches of grapes. This year I need to produce 6. Next year I got to be 7. You know, Billy Branch over here, he did 8. Bobby Branch did 9. What am I going to do? It's not the branch's responsibility. It's not our responsibility to conjure up works for the kingdom. It's our responsibility to stay connected to the vine and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And I think when we get a hold of that, that will be such a change, such a shift in the way we do church and the way we live our lives. And you might say, well, all that restfulness will make me lazy and slothful. And I don't think that will happen, because as you stay connected to the vine, the zeal of the Holy Spirit gets inside of you, and there's no way that you can be lazy or slothful. And finally, the last one, the relationship between the vine and the branches is one of bearing much fruit. Both verses 5 and verse 8 from our text say that you bear much fruit. In Christ, I believe that we should bear fruit as natural as we breathe. It should be a very natural process. In fact, we should be bearing fruit, and it should be completely unconscious to us that we are bearing fruit. How does that look like? Well, imagine we're raptured, and we're in the presence of the Lord. We're at the Bema seat of Christ, and he says, well, Kurt, here's your reward for such and such. When did I do that? Well, when you were walking down the street singing a hymn, and I told you to tell that person that you care about them, and you did, that was bearing fruit for me, because it changed that person's day, and it changed their interaction for the rest of the week. When I asked you to go pray with that person in the store for 20 seconds real quick, it changed that person's outlook and their day. When I asked you to give an encouraging word or just to say a testimony at church, you blessed 5 people that were there that day. And that changed their lives and their outlook on things. We're bearing the fruit, but we don't realize we're bearing fruit because we're just living a life that's connected to the vine. The Bible says somewhere, I don't remember this one, I just kind of thought of it a little while ago, that God produces all the works for us. He has the works for us in advance. Thank you. So those works are there for us. We don't need to generate them. We just need to stay connected to the vine, allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us and accomplish those works in us and out of us. So last slide here. We are about to prepare for rain over this next year. You're going to be asking yourself over the next couple of months, reflectively, where do I fit in? What is my skill set that God has given me? Am I going to be a leader, a teacher, a worshiper? Am I going to work with kids? And so on and so forth. And I would say, first and foremost, let your first thing be that you fit into the vine. Stay vitally connected to Jesus. Because we don't necessarily want to do much work. We want to bear much fruit. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that we are saved and here by grace. That we are sanctified, Lord, by your grace, by your Holy Spirit working in us. Nothing that we can do to produce that. And I thank you also, Lord, that it is bearing fruit that you have ordained for us to do, bearing much fruit by the power of your Holy Spirit as we stay connected to Jesus, the vine. And I pray that before we create programs and go off and do this and do that, that our first order of business would be to stay connected to the vine and to receive continuously the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that for myself and for others who are still working through this concept, that believe that work is something that we do and not out of who we are, that again, Holy Spirit, you would sink this concept deep within us. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.